It's time for Free Thought Radio, a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, featuring Foundation co-presidents Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Heathens out there, and welcome to everybody listening to Free Thought Radio, your antidote to the religious right domination of our public airwaves. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist, the deconverted minister here in the studio with Annie Laurie and with Brian Tarani, our producer and engineer. Free Thought Radio is a production of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. More than 11,000 members and still growing strong.
75 new members came in last week alone.
So there's an interest in not only in keeping state and church separate, but in promoting the views of non-theists and letting the world know that we non-believers are a part of the fabric of America, just like everyone else. We agree with Gypsy Rose Lee, who said, "Praying is like being in a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere."
If you live in Madison, you've been reading about the latest local complaint of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and that involves Jesus flyers being sent home in the backpacks of public grade school students. And the flyer that we protested in particular said, "Plant the seeds of faith in Jesus in your child at our Sunday school," inviting elementary school children to Sunday school. This was leaflets that were put in by the teacher in their backpacks to be sent home to their parents. So later in the show, we'll be talking more about the foundation's complaint and directly with the teacher who contacted us about this state church entanglement. He got the ball rolling, and that would be Allen Ginsberg, a third grade teacher at Van Hise Elementary School in Madison, Wisconsin. Very articulate. He has a lot to say about what's wrong with this take-home flyer policy adopted by the Madison Metropolitan School District.
Okay, but first, the big news in the Freethought world this week is the lawsuit taken by Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers seeking a permanent injunction against, guess who? Against God. The lawsuit wants to cease certain harmful activities and the making of terroristic threats. So we've got Senator Ernie Chambers on the line with us.
And by way of a little background, Senator Ernie Chambers was first elected to the Nebraska legislature in 1970. He's now the longest serving senator in the history of the state of Nebraska, but he has a national constituency. He's become so successful as a defender of the downtrodden and as a thorn in the side of non-progressives that a term limit amendment was passed in 2000 exclusively to ensure that Ernie cannot run again after the year 2008. And we have known Ernie Chambers for some time and admired him.
His name's in all the history books.
His name is in all the legal books because he, as the legislator, challenged paid prayers before the Nebraska legislature, and that was a case in the 1980s that wound up before the Supreme Court in 1983. Unfortunately, the Berger Court ruled against Ernie Chambers in a case known as Marsh versus Chambers. They said prayer was traditional. But it's a testament to Ernie Chambers' powers of persuasion that after that lawsuit, Nebraska did decide to stop paying for prayers anyway. To open their legislature. Ernie has fought the death penalty in Nebraska, a very brave solo fight. He's continued to be an activist for state church separation, among many other civil liberties causes.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Ernie. It's a real pleasure to have you on our show to talk to you again. We met you back in 2005 when you made an exception for the Freedom From Religion Foundation to accept our award, the Hero of the First Amendment in Florida. You remember that?
Yes, I'll never forget the occasion, and nothing has pleased me as much, and I'm not just saying that.
And you're in the news again and again and again, from your famous lawsuit and now again this week. Tell us about this issue this week.
There are two conflicting, apparently, ideas here. One is frivolous lawsuits. The other is the right for anybody to have access to the courthouse, and I'm right between the two. I believe that every person should have access, but I also would hate to see frivolous lawsuits proliferate. But there are different groups who have pushed their agendas by way of frivolous lawsuits, and in order to emphasize and underscore this point, I had to find a hook that would catch the fish that would engage the attention, literally, of everybody around the world, and that's what happened
when
I filed this lawsuit.
So your lawsuit is called State Senator Ernie Chambers versus God.
Yes.
And you filed this on September 14th in a federal courtroom, right?
No, this is in state
court. Oh, in state court.
Yes.
And, of course, you said that you can file this in state court. It happens to be Douglas County, Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
Because, after all, the defendant, God, is omniscient, and so he's everywhere, so why not file in Douglas County?
Right. Omnipresent, everywhere, omniscient, he knows everything. So he's a resident of Douglas County, giving the court jurisdiction. And since he knows everything, he has noticed that this suit was filed, so I don't have to worry about trying to find him to serve papers.
That's right. Now, in your lawsuit, what you said is that God has made terroristic threats.
Yes.
Through his various earthly spokespeople.
Yes.
And against you and against your constituents, and that God has inspired fear and caused widespread death, destruction, terrorism of millions upon millions of the earth's inhabitants.
Yes, and I point out that I'm relying on the chronicles written by his hand-picked chroniclers, and everything I allege in the lawsuit is what comes from the Bible. The reason I didn't mention it by name is because various religions have a supreme being, and they claim this supreme being told them to write certain things. So I didn't name the particular publication, but they all follow the same pattern. They were told to write these things. They chronicle terrible things that God did to people on earth, and there are additional threats that were made if you don't do what he tells you to do.
So
I want that stopped.
Is he going to show up in court?
Well, some people wonder whether he will or not, but it makes me no difference because he's everywhere anyway, based on what they say. And when people ask me, since I'm not a religious person, am I acknowledging the existence of God? I said, that doesn't even come into question because this country does on their money, in their Pledge of Allegiance. Legislatures pray to him in the very oath you swear in court, so I don't even have to deal with that issue.
And some state mottos have God in it, too.
Yes, they do. So that's not even a hurdle for me to surmount. And I'm hoping that this will generate a type of serious discussion about the court system, access to the courts, and the types of lawsuits that may be filed and how they should be handled.
Now, I know that you're making a point about the filing of lawsuits and the filing of frivolous lawsuits, but obviously, too, I think you're assuming that you want to make people think about religious claims.
Oh, for sure. And a lady called me today very disturbed because she said she is in contact with people in Israel, and they are very troubled by this lawsuit. And I said, well, why? Well, they're worried. But I said, look, show you that something good may come of this, I'm not religious, but for those people who are, maybe it will make them reexamine their relationship to their God, whoever that may be, how they treat their fellow person based on their religious requirements. And if that happens, there's something good out of it even for them.
Is there a jail cell big enough?
Well, we don't have to worry about that either.
Well, you're asking for a kind of a cease and desist, right?
Oh, yes. It's to enjoin God permanently from committing these atrocious acts or causing them to happen and from making the terroristic threats. And before people dismiss this out of hand with my allegations, the law and the insurance industry recognize what they call acts of God. They are always calamities and disasters. So they're the ones who gave me the grist for my mill. And the fact that I've ground it up, baked some bread, they now don't want to eat that which they supplied me the information
That's
for.
That's right, because an act of God, the insurance companies and the government are not responsible for that. God must be responsible.
Right, and that's what they allege, so insurance companies don't have to pay off and the government's not responsible.
What if God offers to settle with you for, say, $1 million?
Well, there's a funny thing. There was a cartoon where God was sitting at the table right next to me in the courtroom, and all these people who support him are standing up thanking him for all the millions he's killing in Iraq and getting rid of the gay and lesbians. So God leans over and he says, maybe I ought to try to reach a settlement after all.
Who did that cartoon?
It's in the Lincoln Journal Star, and if you want me to, I'll send you a copy of
it. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so I should just send it to the address on the papers that I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you. Now, what kind of response have you been getting from your fellow senators in Nebraska?
I'm aware of only one senator, and I didn't hear it, but he apparently was being interviewed on CNN, and they were trying to get him to say that I'm a nut, but he pointed out that there is validity to this, and there is a serious issue being raised, and there's a professor at Creighton University Law School who's using the suit as a teaching aid.
Well, it's got a lot of playfulness, you have to admit.
Oh, yes, well, sometimes humor is the way that you can get a very serious message across. So although there is a bit of humor, if people will look at it, they will see that there are some very serious items in it. And I even make reference to the fact that there are living people who claim to represent God, who say that he is going to do more terrible things than in the past, and he's going to continue making these terroristic threats to coerce people to do what he wants them to do. So I'm trying to make it relevant to those who are alive today, as well as those who are long gone.
You've been getting, I'm sure, press calls and media calls from all over the country, and this has been headlines all over the world.
There is a Polish camera crew coming here a week from Thursday, and a crew is coming from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Nova Scotia Sunday. So not only are calls coming, I've gotten calls from Germany. Some people from Ireland have called the clerk's office to try to reach me. So it literally is all over the world.
Well, it will be very interesting to see what the fallout is. Do you know anything about the judge whose courtroom you ended up in?
It happens that it's the only black judge, and I haven't heard, and nobody else has yet, what he proposes and plans to do. But regardless of what he does, I've achieved more than I anticipated, but no more than I hoped.
You know, you're showing the other side of the picture, because whenever something good happens, like it's a sunshiny day or there are blessings or a great harvest, believers are quick to give thanks to God. Mm-hmm. But when bad things happen, why don't we have a national day of cursing God rather than a national day of thanksgiving?
And the fact that you say that will make them curse you. You cannot imagine, maybe you all can, the kind of hateful, vile things that are said to me through anonymous callers based on this lawsuit on behalf of God. And occasionally they'll stay on the line long enough for me to say, who taught you to speak and behave like that, your church or your family? Then they hang up.
So, but no death threats yet?
No, I don't think that occurs to them. They are so furious, they just want to pour out on me what their emotional response is. But I've been in the world a long time, in public life almost as long. My skin is thick, and I expect there to be controversy and for people to respond in an irrational way, because we're dealing with a subject that I consider irrational, looking for some supernatural intervention in the affairs of the natural world.
And isn't your Senate term just about up anyway now?
Next year is my last year, and when that happens, there'll be hallelujahs shouted throughout the land of Nebraska. Although there are some people starting to write to me now and call me about how regretful they are that I'm not here, because the role that I play in the things that I do will no longer be available, and they know that there's a valuable service I perform for the state.
Oh, yes. I mean, you're the longest-serving Nebraska senator in history. Mm-hmm. How many years is it now?
37, and when I'm out of here, it will have been 38. Provided an effort that a lawyer and I are considering is unsuccessful in overturning term limits. But I can't speculate what the outcome of that will be.
But, you've not only been the defender of the downtrodden, but the defender of civil liberties in Nebraska.
Right. Even the right of religious people to be religious if they want to, but I want to stop them from trying to impose what they think and believe on other people by means of governmental agencies.
Well, there is no other senator, state, or otherwise like you in the world. And
And a lot of my detractors would say, thank God for that.
And
we thank Ernie.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And if it makes you feel any better, you should know that we will not be praying for you.
So. Hey, that's what I needed. Now my day is complete.
I think we're out of time here, right? I'm Dan Barker with Free Thought Radio. We've been talking with Nebraska Senator Ernie Chambers, a non-superstitionist, a longtime defender of civil liberties, about his lawsuit, Chambers versus God.
So thank you so much for joining us today, Ernie, on Quick Notice.
It's been my pleasure. And anytime you want me, call me. And unlike the defendant in my lawsuit, I will answer.
Great.
Okay.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We'll be right back after this break to talk about Jesus flyers being sent home with children in Madison Public Schools. And we'll talk with the teacher who blew the whistle on this violation, Allen Ginsberg.
You are listening to Free Thought Radio, hosted by Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor, and produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org.
And Free Thought Radio is back. That's actually a little jazz version of the song Annie Laurie. And I'm Dan Barker here in the studio with Annie Laurie, Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-hosts of Free Thought Radio. And we have a really interesting interview. We're going to talk about Madison, Wisconsin's current hottest state church issue.
We have on the phone with us from Madison, Allen Ginsberg, who teaches third grade at Van Nuys Elementary School, and he's taught school for some 30 years. And Allen, you phoned our office a couple of weeks ago to tell me about a shocking flyer that you were given to put in your students' backpacks. Do you want to tell us what it says?
Sure, yeah. As a teacher, we are required to put any kind of flyers that come from the local community into the backpacks of our students, and they can number anywhere between 5 to 8 in 1 week. The one that I think kind of raised my eyebrows there was one that said, it was from a local church, and it said, don't neglect the 3 R's, religion, relationships, and then rejoicing. And then right under that, it basically had a little message saying, plant the seeds of faith in Jesus in your child at our Sunday school.
Plant the seeds of faith in Jesus.
Plant the seeds of faith in Jesus in your child at our Sunday school.
And then it has an apple with the words in it, back to Sunday school. And this is Grace Lutheran Church Sunday School, Rally Sunday. And then it's got this disclaimer, so-called, from the school district.
Exactly. The way the district handles these non-school flyers is they put a bit of a stamp on the bottom, which sometimes you need a magnifying glass to read it. But basically what it says is this is not a school-sponsored activity, and the Madison Metropolitan School District does not approve, support, or endorse this program.
But they just make you act as a conduit to publicize it.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And the situation is such that I think when you are presenting a flyer or any sort of material into a student's backpack, it sort of implies that, in fact, the school is endorsing it. And that's where the issue lies as the problem here.
Well, that's what we have always thought at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We were on record in the 90s opposing this policy when it was adopted by the public schools, and I think adopted to placate the Boy Scouts, actually. But now you have given new wind to our complaint, because this seems like a particularly pernicious example. And I know that you went to Mr. Matthews of the teachers union.
Correct.
And what do you think will happen with that complaint?
Well, you know, it's an interesting situation, because it doesn't fall under the contract of the teachers who are working for Madison Public School. It becomes a school board issue more than a teacher's issue. The union can only deal with contractual situations between the school district in the teachers' union. And this doesn't really fall into that category. What it falls more into, where it would actually have to be considered would be between the school board, the superintendent, and the teachers. So all the district can say is it is mandatory that you give out these flyers that are given to the teachers, whether it be for a church, whether it be for swimming lessons, whether it be for a book sale at Scholastic, a karate class, et cetera.
Do you see? Do you see a lot of religious stuff over the years?
Well, I've seen more and more of it as the years go by, especially from the local churches. This was one of the more, shall we say, blatant ones that I've seen. And what I've noticed in the last couple of years is that they seem to be a bit more, shall I say, in your face. a couple of years back, you were more likely just to see local Sunday school class starting this weekend.
So what did you do? Did you actually put this in the backpacks?
Well, I did not. I felt that this one was inappropriate, and I held on to it. And as you know, I called the Freedom from Religion group yourself, and I wanted to get some feedback from you. This one did not go home at this point in time here.
In other classrooms in other schools, we know there were about 2,000.
They did, yeah. My understanding was that over 2,500 or so were printed, and a couple of a couple of thousand probably did go home. The thing that I also find rather offensive is that we'll take my school for instance. We have a population which includes children from over 40 different countries, and I estimate probably maybe 20 different religions, and three quarters of those religions are not Christian religions. And I found it particularly offensive to place a flyer like that into the backpack of a Muslim child, a Buddhist child, a Jewish child.
Hmong child,
exactly.
You pointed out on this flyer, which I'm looking at right now, and we have it up at our website at ffrf.org under the news release link. They're all white.
Well, that's another interesting point too. Is what you're referring to, of course, is the bottom of the flyer. There are a picture of about a dozen little children, and they all are rather Caucasian. Caucasian oriented, I guess, is a good way to say it. Which I find equally interesting because as of this school year, 2007 here. This is the first time that the population of the Madison Public Schools is over 51% minority, which, of course, I suppose changes the concept of what a minority actually is.
Yes, it does.
The other thing that I find really, really kind of interesting is almost ironic, actually, is this week we had a total in service for the entire school community. It was a day off for the students, but not for the teachers. And we had some cultural diversity and cultural sensitivity training where we watched a number of videos and listened to people talk about, the delicate cultural diversity issues that we have to be aware of, things like you don't want to pat a African-American child on their head. They find that offensive. You don't want to ask a Hmong child to make eye contact with you. They might find that offensive. And at the same time, we're listening to this. For some reason, the powers that be downtown at 545 West Dayton can't seem to understand that perhaps putting a flyer which asks you to plant the seeds of faith in Jesus in your child into the backpack of a Muslim, a Jew, or perhaps even an atheist. They don't seem to think that that's an offensive affront.
They think it's appropriate, in fact, because they have a policy saying that they'll approve it if it's appropriate. Ergo, this was appropriate.
Well, you see, and that's another interesting issue because when I push them, I've of course, as you might imagine, had many conversations about this with a number of the school board members and a number of people down at in the information arm of MMSD, and I was asking them what appropriate meant, and a lot of hemming and a lot of hawing. You know, you just they you they can't seem to put their finger on what's appropriate.
Well, obscenity or something like that would cross the line, right?
Well, I suppose that would, and I suppose, you know, things like, child pornography and whatever. Huh. But at the same time, I asked them, suppose I sent a flyer down that said, plant the seeds of Satanism in your child.
That's
in
what
our
we
Sunday
said
school.
In our letter as
what
well.
What did they say?
They had to get back to me about that. That's when there was sort of dead silence on the other end, and they said, "Well, you know, no one has ever done that, and maybe perhaps
it's time
we need to do that because I think we need to force them to decide what where is the line." Now, I know in the past you had a flyer that you the Freedom from Religion organization, if I'm not mistaken, had
we can talk about that when we come back. We have to take a break here, and we'll talk about our experiment with a flyer and a little bit about other teachers' reactions. We're talking with Allen Ginsberg, a third grade teacher in a Madison, Wisconsin public school. I'm Dan Barker. I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio, and we'll be right back after this break.
The time to be happy is now. The place to be happy is here. The way to be happy is to make others happy. The time to be happy is now. The time to be happy is now.
You are listening to Free Thought Radio, hosted by Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor, and produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org.
And we're back with Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're here. We're talking on the phone with third grade teacher Allen Ginsberg about the Jesus flyers that are being sent home in children's backpacks, courtesy of the Madison Metropolitan School District. And this isn't just a problem here in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a common practice nationwide to send home flyers for churches and religious groups and any other groups advertising events for school children.
And just before the break, we were talking with you, Allen, and you mentioned that the Freedom From Religion Foundation had experimented with sending our own flyers through the Madison schools. And that was in the late 90s, early 90s. And what we found were a lot of teachers actually threw them out. and that's another weakness in all of this.
Absolutely.
But because they technically accepted them, we didn't have a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But the churches are all standing in line. The policy is that if it's an event geared to a school-aged child, that they can send the flyer home. And so what's happening is these churches that just always have Sunday school
mm-hmm.
are saying, oh, this is a school age, this is appropriate for school-aged children. And so, you know, they're just have a built-in
captive audience.
Yeah. And to me, this is very, very wrong.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, probably what made this one stand out perhaps more than all the others was the added little seeds of faith in Jesus caption. You know, many of the other ones that we've gotten in the past have just been Sunday school, the date, the time, and that's it. You know, it just seems that, you know, over the past couple of years in the Bush regime, shall we say, I seem to see more, you know, more churches taking a little more of a, well, shall we say, a little more of a blatant step, you know, and sticking in more of the religious aspects here. And I would feel the same way whether it was for a Muslim organization or a Jewish organization or a Buddhist. I am just a great believer in the separation of church and
or
state.
An atheist one. What if we said one?
Or an atheist one or a Wiccan one. Or,
what if we said
plant
the seeds of non-faith in Jesus? You
well,
know?
I think we need to get that flyer out because I think we need to see where the school will draw the line.
Well, we may just have to conjure up some more events for children, but we're hoping that the public will be so shocked, and I think that the press have been shocked at the revelations of this poster because this is so over the top? I mean, it's been treated as a big, legitimate news story here in Madison,
well,
Wisconsin.
Well, it must have been a slow news day yesterday or something. I'm making the headlines of the Cap Times.
Yeah, the top of the fold, but I think appropriately.
Absolutely. I have
on Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday, yeah. I have gotten so far, over 20 phone calls and an equal number of emails, plus just word of mouth from parents and other teachers. 95.8% of them have been very positive. Trying to put a stop to this, and it's sort of a triple threat issue here. It's not just the church and state aspect, although I certainly find that to be the most egregious. But it's also, again, as we touched upon a few minutes ago, using kids as this captive audience for bringing home this basic advertising propaganda.
And it doesn't cost the group anything more than paying for the printing of these leaflets. They have to drop them en masse. They count them or something. And drop them at the Doyle Administration Building, and then the school system acts as their PR machine and distributes them to whatever schools they want, and then you, the teacher, are forced to collate these things and count them out and put them in the backpacks of elementary school children, because that's the target.
Absolutely.
And then the parents open the backpack, and they're assaulted huge number of leaflets and...
Yeah. A couple of parents, who had contacted me wanted to know if these were just nonprofit organizations. And the reality is that most of these flyers are for-profit organizations, everything from Sylvan Learning to the Kalahari Water Park.
So you're turning yourself inside out to be an ad person for commercial and religious enterprises, basically.
We have these parents complaining about advertisement on the buses. And yet they seem to be very much against covering the buses with any sorts of ads, but we don't seem to have any problem with covering the inside of their backpacks equally with these ads.
Now, you were doing some calculations about how much time you spent.
I found some found it sort of interesting just to see how it played out here. Timing myself and being a 30-year vet here, I guess I've gotten pretty fast about it. But I can basically disperse about 50 of these in about 10 minutes. Calculating out that I get approximately 4 to 5 a week, which then counts out to be about 125 to 150 a week, because I have 25 to 26 students, the pile gets to be over 5,000 a year. And when you calculate the amount of time that I spend to disperse those 5,000 flyers, apparently Madison Metropolitan School District is paying me over $800 a year. That's the amount of my salary time that goes into dispersing these. Now, I'm just one teacher. If you count it out among the entire staff, it's almost $9,000 for our single school.
Send the bill to the church.
I think so.
And then also, that is time that you are not using for instruction.
Not assessing, not teaching. And another factor is that we have, have some difficulty with here is many of our students here are English as second language students. They have parents who are not fluent in the English language. And these, now don't forget that these flyers are mixed in with the bake sale at the PTO, which of course is appropriate.
Yes.
And the, that sort of thing.
And then there isn't, what about their schoolwork and their homework?
Well, that we try and keep separate, in terms of where the folder is. But where I have the problem is that some of these people don't know how to distinguish between what is a school-sponsored activity versus what is not. That little stamp on the bottom in about, 0.11 pica here, which you can hardly read, doesn't really help them. I'll give you a perfect example. Last year, it was for one of those learning prescription companies or Sylvain or whatever, where they were offering a $100 assessment of your child. I actually had a parent come in and say, wanting to know if they were required to send a check for $100 to have their child assessed to find out what their reading skills
were. So you can imagine that there are children or there are parents who think they have to do this when they get this flyer.
Especially those who are not, shall we say, familiar with the whole concept, and because our school has a lot of English as second language people, I think we have that more than many other buildings.
And then you also have the children, this captive audience, these small immature minds thinking, how can they distinguish between what's school and what is church? What's what's an advertisement and what they really need to read.
Absolutely, and you know, why are we using these children as a conduit for this advertising? All we're doing is saving the 41-cent stamp for these organizations,
which could buy the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction labels. They could take their own flyer, own advertisements. They could leaflet neighborhoods. They don't have to do any of that because you're doing it for them, and I think it's very unethical.
I called a couple of districts outside of Madison just out of curiosity to see how they handled the situation, and I discovered that many districts, basically what they do with these flyers, they do get them. They leave them in the office, and it's up to the parents to come and pick them up if they want. They are not sent to them. For some reason, Madison Public Schools has decided that it is the teacher's duty to disperse them to the children and send them home. One of the reasons I am involved in this whole little effort here is to try to get them to change this whole idea. And that, you know, if they want to send the flyers, fine, have them in the office. And if parents are truly interested, let them come and get them.
Now, as bad as this issue is, I read in the paper that the pastor of this church who sent this egregious flyer has said that he has not received one single phone call or contact as a result of this flyer. Is that your understanding?
I read the same thing. Read the same thing here.
So they're not very interested, and then it's giving these parents so much to go through, and then you have so much the homework, the school assignments, permission slips. It's just overwhelming everybody.
It makes you wonder why they bother to send it out if they're not getting any response to it.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but
You know, between me and you, I know a number of teachers who, like myself, found it inappropriate, and I know it did not go home for a number of people.
Well, we hope that listeners will chime in on this and contact the school board. And you can go to the Freedom From Religion Foundation website, ffrf.org. Look under news release or action to get information about contacting your local school board members so that they know the community is against this. And we thank you so much, Allen Ginsberg, for sounding the alarm and for speaking out about a problem that's been simmering for more than a decade in Madison Public Schools.
I thank you for listening and being a conduit for getting this information out. And I hope people will call members of the school board and let them know how they feel.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. Next, after the break, we'll be listening to the actual acceptance speech of comedian Kathy Griffin, the speech that was expunged from the broadcast of the Emmy Arts Awards a few weeks ago because of a protest by the Catholic League. Stay tuned.
We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come a-tumbling down.
And Free Thought Radio is back. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist, with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And turning quickly to some more news of the week, last week we reported on the censorship of comedian Kathy Griffin's irreverent acceptance speech when she won a Creative Arts Emmy. Her irreverent remarks were expunged from the telecast of the awards show at the request of, guess who? The Catholic League. So when we did last week's Free Thought Radio show, the so-called notorious acceptance clip of the self-described fallen Catholic, Kathy Griffin, wasn't available to us, but it is now. And we want to play it for you to show you the power of the religious right to control our airwaves and to squelch not just any criticism of religion, but to squelch simple, irreverent free speech. Let's listen to what she actually said.
A lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. If it was up to him, Caesar Milan would be up here with that damn dog. So all I can say is, suck it, Jesus. This award is my God now.
So that was Kathy Griffin accepting her Creative Arts Award from the Emmys, but she didn't see it on TV because the Catholic League thought it was too much.
They still have
They called it hate speech. Come on.
To say suck at Jesus, that's hate speech, right?
And I think that does really, as we said, show the power of the religious right, the control of our public airwaves by powerful religious forces that have their own agenda and don't really believe in free speech.
And when Fox News reported this story, they played what you just heard, except they bleeped, what, every other word of this kind of mild. I mean, compared to comedy clubs that you go to hear to talk, Kathy Griffin, it was actually kind of mild. They were offended by the criticism of their dear beloved Jesus. And one other reminder, starting on Saturday, October the 6th, Free Thought Radio will be carried on Air America Radio nationally. The Madison Show that you're listening to now will continue in Madison from 11 to 12 noon. And what time is the national?
My understanding is it's 1 to 2 Eastern most places. And that's when they'll release it from the National Air America station. And then it's satellite Saturday, 7 to 8 p.m. and New York City, 7 to 8 p.m.
What's the satellite? XM?
XM satellite. I think it's channel 167. But again, you can go to ffrf.org/radio, and we'll have all that information up as we get all the news about the different affiliates that will be carrying it. If you are listening to a podcast, go check out whether you have Air America locally and ask them and email them and call them to politely request that Free Thought Radio be carried. It is the first time that freethinkers have had a chance to have our own program nationally, and we think we carry a lot of important news and updates on state church separation, and we're a little bit of a balance to the domination of our airwaves by religious right. So please lobby for Free Thought Radio to be picked up.
And we're out of time for today. That concludes our show today. You can hear this show at ffrf.org as an archive or as a podcast. You can email us at freethoughtradio@ffrf.org or phone 608-663-7291. That's the Progressive voicemail, 608-663-7291. And all of that information is up at our website, ffrf.org/radio.
We want to thank our two guests today, State Senator from Nebraska, Ernie Marsh.
Ernie Chambers. The case was Marsh versus Chambers.
Yes. Ernie Chambers, who is suing God. And everybody says we wish that that could be a class action suit. And we also talked with Teacher Allen Ginsberg, and we thank you also for listening. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. Our guest next week will be Madison native, mover and shaker, Deborah Sweet.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.